Welcome to LHA Church. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor Jerry Galloway, lead pastor here at Lighthouse Assembly. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you will turn with me to Psalm 46. Psalm 46, we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. We're going to spend our time together in this 46th Psalm. Psalm 46, beginning in verse number 1. God is, how many of you like those first two words? God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, because of that, we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. Can you say amen? Amen. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought to the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire. Verse 10, he says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us, and the God of Jacob is our fortress. This morning I want to share with you and speak to you for a few minutes on those who are walking through a season of difficulty, possibly a valley of trials and a time of testing. This morning, I'm not here, and it's beyond my scope or ability to help you avoid the trials of this life. But my prayer is to encourage your hearts, to encourage your hearts that while you're in the time of testing or you're in the valley of difficulty, to stand firm, to be steadfast, because friends, our God will never let you down. Our God will never give up on you. Our God will never fail you. In fact, all the promises that our God gives, he'll bring them to pass. Can you say amen? Amen. Jesus said in John 16 and verse 33, I have told you all of this so that you may have peace in me. Here on the earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. Prior to Jesus making this statement, Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross, and there he's going to fight the greatest battle of all time. And prior to him arriving at that greatest battle, he says in advance, I've already overcome the world. The battle is already fought. The battle's already taken care of. I have overcome the world. Jesus said, because I've overcome, he said, you will overcome also. Friend, today I don't know, as you've come to this church on this Sunday, I don't know what you may be walking through. I don't know maybe what this past week has been for you. But I'm here to tell you today, and I'm here to remind you, and my heart's desire today is to encourage you with this truth. God is greater, God is stronger, and God will never, somebody say never. God will never give up on you. It's because of this truth that I want to turn our attention this morning to this 46th Psalm, because it has been such a great strength. It's been such a great counsel for so many in times of trial. This psalm was a great strength to a German monk who was literally on the run for his life. During a time of fleeing for his life, he took this psalm, and he penned the words to an incredible hymn of the church. A mighty fortress is our God. Friend, it's in the middle of the battle you'll not find him to be a mighty fortress. It's in the middle of the difficulty you'll find him to be your strength. It's in the time of great weakness that we find that his strength is perfect when our strength is gone. Friend, he can carry us when we can't even carry on. I want to remind you today of the God that you and I serve. The scholars believe that this psalm was probably written about the time that King Hezekiah, he was the king of Judah, for about the time that he was delivered from the hands of the Assyrians. Biblical history tells us Hezekiah was one of the great kings of Judah. We find that the Assyrians had invaded and they had devastated the nation of Israel. Now, the Assyrians had deported some 200,000 people out of Judah. They had wiped out the stored cities, their place of refuge and provision. And now the Assyrians are preparing to gather around Jerusalem. If you want to read the account of this story, you'll find it in Isaiah chapters 36 and 37. In those stories, it tells us how that God delivered the city of Jerusalem by sending an angel of the Lord. Notice what I said, not a host of angels, but he sent an angel of the Lord, and that one angel wiped out 185,000 Assyrians in one night. It's following that event. How many of y'all know, if that happened to you, you might be able to work up a praise. You might be able to think of something to clap your hands about and shout about. Well, it's with that mindset we find Hezekiah. He gathers together a group of people to come and praise on the steps of the temple there in Jerusalem. And it's out of that praise that we find this 46th psalm comes to us. Isn't it powerful in our lives when we hear about what God has done for another person? It's amazing how it encourages your faith, how it builds you up, how it encourages you to believe God to do the impossible in your situation, because you think, you know what? If God can do it for them, I believe God can do it for me. If God can be with Sandy in a difficult time, then God can be with me. If God can be with Jeff, then God can bring me through too. If God can do in Doris's life what he's done, then I know God can do something in my life. Friend, it encourages your heart. Now, this psalm, when we look at it, is divided up into three parts. The first segment, we find it's a reminder about who God is and how he works in our lives. The second segment is written about this river and the blessing this river brings to the people of Jerusalem. And the last segment talks about our remedy to our distress. When there's times of uncertainty, times of trouble, times of difficulty all around us, the third segment tells us how we are to deal with those situations. Now, when you read through this psalm, you'll find at the end of these three segments, there is a word that in many of your translations, depending on what translation you have with you today, you'll find there is a word that's there. It's Selah. Now, that word really is not intended for us as we read through the psalm. It's not intended for us to read it, but actually it's a term that gives us some direction and some insight. What the writer is really trying to get us to do, that word Selah gives us the idea that we're supposed to pause. We're supposed to stop. We need to take a breather because something significant has just been spoken and we need to receive it. I don't know about you, but I get so busy sometimes in life that, man, I can mow through it all real quick and I can miss the whole point of what I'm supposed to pick up. The Bible says when you get to this point, stop. Pause for a minute. Quit with the busyness. Stop and just think about what's been said to you and reflect on the word of the Lord. Now, first of all, in this passage, what we find is there's a reminder of who God is and what he's like how he works in our lives. The truth is, you and I need those reminders, because what happens is when we're faced with problems and we're faced with trials, we go into fix-it mode. How many of y'all are fixers in this room? Yeah. We like, when a problem arises, we say, well, here's what you need to do. How many of y'all have those folks in your life? Have you ever noticed that usually it doesn't come at the right time? Here's what you need. Now, if you'll just listen to me, I've got something to say to you. Just pause and listen. I've got words for you now. You need to receive. We go into fix-it mode when a problem presents itself. We're trying to solve it. We're trying to resolve it. Listen, friend, all of us, we're either fixers inwardly or outwardly. What that means is we're either outwardly doing it, we're telling other people how to fix their stuff, or we're inwardly trying to fix our own stuff. Now, that will represent itself in your life in ways like this. 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, you're sitting up, you can't sleep because there's a problem, and you got to fix it tonight. Now, I don't know if you've run across this before or not, but for me, at 2 or 3 in the morning, the problem is 100 times bigger, 100 times worse than it is when the sun comes up in the morning. And so I'm there trying to figure this out. And at our house, Paula is down the other end, and she's sleeping sound as a log. Have you ever had somebody when you're all worked up at work, you just want to go wake them up? You know, I'm in misery. You need to come be in misery with me. You need to join me in the misery. She's not doing that. She's asleep. You know why she's asleep? Because I can't resolve it tonight. I can't do anything about it. But you see, when that happens, what begins to happen is the problem gets so big. It gets so big, I don't see a way out. Then it not only robs my sleep, it robs my peace of mind, it robs my ability to think. And the truth is, then when the sun does come up in the morning, I'm no good the rest of the day, because I'm walking around all day long like I'm half asleep. I can't get motivated. Everybody walks in smiling, and your first thing is, what do you want to smile about? I've been up all night. I was miserable last night. I'm going to make y'all miserable today. You ever have one of those days? I won't ask you if you were that person, because I think we've all been there before. So we try to fix that problem. You know, right in the middle of that trial, what we find is this. We need God. Can you say that with me? We need, can you say it one more time? We need God. Friends, we don't need God because there's some uncertainty going on in my life. But what we find is I need God every single day of my life, whether it's going great or whether it's going through a time of difficulty. I need God spot on in my life every day, because the truth is this life is uncertain. How many of y'all ever been having a really great day and somebody rained on your parade? I mean, you were just, man, you were having a great old time. You were in a good mood. You're singing your little song as you're walking down the hallway, and somebody pops out of nowhere and rains on your parade and takes the good that was happening and turns it around. You see, the reality is this life is uncertain, and the truth is, today's Sunday. I don't know what's coming Monday. There's no way I can get a grasp on tomorrow. So the truth is, we need him desperately, even when things look like they're going great, just as much as I need him when the bottom has fallen out. Now, what we find in this 46th Psalm is this. Problems simply remind us of how much we need God. Problems just bring things back into proper focus. How many of y'all know sometimes we just got to get back in proper focus? So whether things are great or you're facing one impossible situation after another, we need God full on all the time. And let me tell you something. If we don't have him, we're in serious trouble. We're in serious trouble if he's not full on. And that is where the good news of this 46th Psalm intersects our lives. Look at verse 1 with me. God is, I like that statement, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Here's what we find in verse 1. God is there. God is the one who helps. And listen to me. God is the one who wants to help. Now, if we start looking at our own abilities and we start looking at our own faculties to solve and resolve the problems, the truth is we're going to get ourselves in trouble. How many of y'all have ever tried to fix something and you only made a bigger mess of it? Amen? You think, I can take, I got this one. And the only thing you got in this one is a bigger mess now. You're in trouble. Now, the truth is, I believe God expects us to do our part. I don't think this Christian life is about sitting back in the easy chair saying, okay, God, go get them. Okay, God, I got the remote here. God, I need you to go to channel 32 in my life. I need you to go to the love channel, take care of my wife today. I need you to go to the kids channel, straighten them kids up, God. And Lord, I need you to go to the work channel and handle my boss today. How many know that's not the way it works with God? God expects us to do our part. But listen, friend, that's usually not a problem. Usually the problem is we're so engaged in the problem, we don't find any room to try to let God work on the problem. Now, in Isaiah chapter 30, we find the kings have gotten together. And they thought to themselves, here's what's happening. The Assyrian army is coming to cause a lot of trouble for them. Their plan is, we're going to wipe these guys out. We're going to defeat them. And the kings got together ahead of time. They said, hey, listen, we heard on Facebook that the Assyrians, they know who we are. The Assyrians are going to come, and they're going to tear us up. In fact, they said it on Facebook, and so we're going to prepare. And they said, now listen, our army is not quite big enough, so what we need to do, we're going to go down to Egypt, and when we get to Egypt, we're going to go talk to Pharaoh, and we're going to try to become buddies. Now, the truth is, Pharaoh doesn't serve our God. Pharaoh doesn't even acknowledge our God. Pharaoh doesn't even have time for our God. But yet we're going to go down and we're going to try to align ourselves with Pharaoh. And we're going to see, you know what, we got a big problem. Pharaoh's got a big army. And if we can get Pharaoh to come and join us, when the Assyrians come, they're going to be shocked. We're going to defeat them along with Pharaoh and his army. And it's going to be a great, great thing that's going to happen. So they say, we got this taken care of. But look what God gave a response to that decision. It's in Isaiah 30 and 15. This is what the sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your strength. In quietness and trust is your strength, but you would have none of it. Here's what's happening. God is saying, you know what? You're trying to be smart. You're trying to be smooth. You're trying to handle this thing on your own, do it your own way. He says, but if you would have just asked me, I would have helped you, and I would have brought victory around for you, but you instead, you're going to rely on Pharaoh and not on me. So in response to their decision in Isaiah 30, 16 and 17, he continues on. And God says to them, you said, no, God, we'll flee on horses. Therefore, you will flee. You said, we'll ride off on swift horses. Therefore, your pursuers will be swift. 1,000. Notice this, 1,000 will flee at the threat of what? One. At the threat of five, you'll all flee away. To your left, like a flagstaff on a mountaintop, like a banner on a hill. What God is saying is this: if you want to do it your own way, do it your own way. If you won't listen to me, if you won't let me help you, then you're going to be on your own. Parents, if you've ever walked the journey of life with your kids, how many ever found a time your kids wouldn't listen to you? If you're a parent, no truer thing has been said. If you're a parent, you faced it. Because from the time we're small, we think, I can handle this. I think I can take care of this. I can do it on my own. Listen to me. Just like as parents, you can't always force your kids to go your way, so God will not always force us to go His way. Now, here's the tragedy of it. In the midst of our decision, we see the heart, we see the mind of our God. And really, when we see it, it's a picture of His grace. Isaiah 30 and 18 says these words: after they have said all these things, they've made their declaration, and God has said, you know what, if you want to go your own way, I'm going to let you go your own way. Then we hear the heart of the Father. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, He will rise up to show you His compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice, and blessed are all who wait for Him. Friend, God wants to help us. God doesn't need a good set of circumstances to help you, and God is not afraid of a bad one. The psalmist said, I was young, and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their children out begging for bread. God takes care of His people. And friend, God will take care of you. Listen, God is not bothered by your problem. God just looks at it as an opportunity for a miracle. Now, at the beginning of this psalm, the psalmist tells us three things. God is a refuge. God is our strength, and God is an ever-present help. You'll notice it doesn't just say He's a refuge. It says He's our refuge. Psalm 27 and verse 1, the Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? For the Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? Friend, we belong to Him. The scripture says He's a present help. He's right now, right on time. He's a permanent help. He's always right on in your life. The nice thing about God is you don't have to go looking for Him. He's with you when you get there. If trouble presents itself tomorrow to you on Monday morning, God will be with you in the midst of it. Now, listen, there's often times I think, well, I need to call so-and-so. I need to get their advice. I need to see what they think I ought to do. And have you ever tried, even in the day of cell phones, you try to reach somebody and you can't? You know, used to, you'd call somebody's house. Now, this is a long time ago. But you'd call somebody's house, and if they didn't answer, you're done. You waited till they got back home. But how many of y'all know, now that we have cell phones, we think everybody ought to answer right now. And if you don't answer right now, you must be upset about something. Or you're ignoring me. I'll send you a text. And if you don't respond to my text right now, I'm going to get upset with you. How did we ever get here? We think, wow, I can do this. I'll get somebody else to help me. Listen, friend, we need to run to God. Because God is the only one that's a present help in the time of trouble. God is right here with me. I don't have to wait for him to call me back. He's right here with me. When I get there, sometimes I can't even say, Jesus, help me. But I know he's right here with me, and he's already helping before I can even get the words out. Because that's the kind of God we serve. The whole world could be falling apart. Yet the Bible says we don't have to be afraid. Look at Psalm 46 and 2. Therefore, we will not fear. I think we need to declare that right there together. Would you join me? Therefore, we will not fear. Say it again. Therefore, we will not. Say it like you mean it. Therefore, we will not fear. We need to make those kind of declarations in our life, don't we? I'm not just saying it. The Bible says, I will not fear though the earth give way, though the mountains fall in the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Listen, friend, everything could be falling apart, yet we don't have to be afraid. Why? Because God is our refuge. God is our strength. God is a very present help in trouble. In the midst of it all, friend, you can have peace that passes all understanding because God is with us to help us. Then the passage says that word, Selah. Stop and think about it. Now, if I'd stopped and thought about it, I'd probably ended my sermon right there. But I'm going to get 3 weeks in instead of stopping right there. When you read that passage, the Bible says, stop, think about what you've read. Stop and pause. Instead of thinking about the problem, think about what God has said. He gives us a picture in verse 4, Psalm 46 and verse 4. It says, there is a river. And what's he talking about? Have you ever had times when you're reading a passage, you're thinking, what in the world is he talking about? You know, right in the middle, God is our refuge and strength, the very present help of the time of trouble. He will not fear, though the mountains give way and all these things happen. And then all of a sudden he goes into, there is a river. What in the world is he talking about? Here's what we find when we look at this picture. The Assyrians are getting ready to attack Jerusalem. And what we find is one of the greatest engineering feats of all time is getting ready to take place. Now, in Jerusalem, there was a spring of water, and they would go out. When they needed water, they'd go out, and they would drop their buckets down. They'd bring the buckets up, take it back. Everybody have water for the day. Everybody was refreshed. Everybody was encouraged. They had a water supply. And what happened years before King Hezekiah sat on the throne, King David came to take back the city of Jerusalem, and him and his commander Joab, they crawled up through that spring of water and gained access to the city. And so Hezekiah, knowing this story, has his men go out, and he camouflages, covers up that spring of water. And then he gets his guys together. And underneath the mountain, they start at opposite ends, and they dig 1,700 feet, and they meet in the middle. Now, today, that's not that big of a deal because we have GPS, and we have boring equipment. And, you know, they can set the GPS and, boy, them fellas will come to the exact same place at the same time. But all these guys had were some chisels, and they're hammering through the rock. And they came to the same place. And what happened was Hezekiah built an aqueduct underneath the city. And they were able to get water back from that. Now, why is that important? Because the Assyrians are coming. One of the things that they would do in wars in years gone by, they would encircle the city so they couldn't get the things they needed. The provisions would run out. The people would get tired, they'd get weak, then they'd advance on them and take them on. Hezekiah built this aqueduct so that while the Assyrians were gathered around the walls of Jerusalem, they're out there with no water, but the people inside the city have all the water that they need. That's where we get this greater understanding of this, there is a river. Notice the words there beginning in verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. How many of y'all would be glad if you have water? When you're thirsty, when you're hot, when it's in the middle of your life, I'm glad I've got this glass of water. He says it's the holy place, notice this, where the Most High dwells. God's in the city. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in an uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. Notice that the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. You need to underline that word. The Lord Almighty is with us, and the God of Jacob is our fortress. What's the importance of that for my life on September 17th, 2017? Friend, when you have God flowing into the situation in your life, just like the water flowed to Jerusalem, it was a source of life, a source of strength. And you see, as long as you have water and your enemy doesn't, you can outlast them. It gives you hope that you can last through this time. When you have God flowing through your situation, you know God's in the middle of the trial, and that struggle leaves you with peace. Why? Because he is my refuge. He is my strength, a very present help in trouble. You'll notice it says the Lord Almighty is with us. Who is that? That's the one with whom nothing is impossible. He's the one that can do anything. He's not just anybody. He is the Almighty. And then they say it again. Selah. Pause. Stop. Think about and meditate on that truth. Now, thirdly and last of all, let's look at the remedy. What are you going to do now that you've got this? Psalm 46, verses 8 and 9. Come and see, notice this, what the Lord has done. Past tense. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he's brought to the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow, shatters the spear, and he burns the shields with fire. Here's what he's saying that we need to do, friend. When we're faced with troubles and it seems like life is spinning out of control, you need to get your Bible out. I need to get my Bible out. And I need to look at times when in other people's lives things were spinning out of control. And I need to read how that God helped them, how God took care of them, how God provided for them, and how, listen to this important, how God brought them through. The record of the Word of God is that when things were spinning out of control and people trusted God, what happened? God helped them. Come, behold, it says, the works of the Lord. Think back over the times, my friend, throughout the Word of God, when God's people were in trouble and they trusted him. Think about the things that he did for them. How many times does it say throughout? Listen, if you want to be encouraged, you need to read Israel's history. How many times they were in trouble and the problem was way bigger than they could handle, and a big army was gathered around them, and all of a sudden God made them think they heard another army coming, and they all took and ran away. God did that. And I'm sure Israel was like, oh, whoa, wait a minute. Where'd it go? Where'd it go? There were times in Israel's history when an army would come up, their enemy, and their whole intention was to wipe them out. God would stir up. Listen, not only is God in control of your situation, some people don't even believe God's in control of the devil's people. God can get them stirred up. The Bible says there were some times when the armies would turn against themselves. Now, I don't know how that happened. I wasn't there. Sometimes my mind thinks, you know, two guys stand on the side of the hill, one of them bumps into the other one, and they're like, what are you doing? I didn't do nothing. You sure did. No, I didn't. I didn't do anything. You absolutely, you just bumped me. No, I didn't. You want to take this out on the other side of the hill? And the Bible says they turn against each other and wipe each other out while God's people stood back and watched God work. How many times did he say, listen, the battle is not yours, The battle is the Lord's. Come behold the works of the Lord. Isaiah, I share with you, Isaiah 36 and 37, he sent one angel, and one night that one angel took out 185,000 Assyrians. Friend, if he can do that, what can he do for you? Is your problem bigger than 185,000 of your worst enemies? Listen, God has everything under control. God knows the beginning and the end, and he's not afraid of what's going on in your life. So let's bring this down. Let's bring this to a close. Psalm 46 and verse 10. All that being said, all those passages being declared, what is God's word to us? Be still. Be still. Stop. If you're worried, be still. If you're frantic, be still. If y'all worked up in a frenzy, be still. What does he say? And know that I am God. Now this morning, when we were in here early this morning, some of y'all were still in bed, asleep, and we were here practicing on the platform, getting things ready, and they were holding Zarina, little baby, up here in the choir loft. And as we're singing, I was not watching Paula directing like I was supposed to be. I was watching Zarina. And I'm not kidding you, that girl moved constantly. Both arms, both legs. I'm not kidding. She didn't stop. And I thought back to times when my son was little and times when you as parents, your kids, it kind of be going a little bit overboard. You say, be still. Probably lose my mind. Be still. Stop. Have you ever tried to talk to somebody and they wouldn't stop talking? I mean, you got something important to say. And you're like, will you just be quiet? I've got the answer for you. Stop talking. God says in the middle of it all, be still. Stop. Stop. This running around, friend, is getting you nowhere. This stirring up these, your mind running, it's not going anywhere except causing you more trouble. Be still, but notice it. He didn't say just stop. He didn't say you need a timeout. He says be still so that you can know and remember that I'm God. Because you see, sometimes my problems can get so big and I'm so worked up over it, I forget that he's even in the universe. He says, stop. Be still so that you can remember the fact that I am your God and that I am for you. And if I'm for you, who can be against you? And if I'm on your side, who do you need to be afraid of? What circumstance do you need to be afraid of when I'm the God who will take care of you? I'd remind you of the passage we read earlier from Isaiah 30 and 15. In quietness and trust is your strength. Isaiah 26 and 3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Put your focus on him. Be still and know that he is God. He goes on in that passage and he says, I will be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted on the earth. Friend, where are your problems centered? Is it not on the earth? Now, some days I'd like to send my problems to the moon, but I haven't figured out how to do that yet. My problems are right here on the earth, planet Earth. More specific, usually upland Indiana. More specific, 800. More specific, in my house. That's where problems usually crop up on our lives, don't they? He says, listen, if you'll be still and know that I'm God, here's what I'll do. I'll be exalted in the place of your problem. I'll be exalted in the earth. Wherever the problem may be, I'll be exalted in it if you'll be still and let me be God. The passage in Psalm 46 and 11, he closes this psalm with these words. It's a reminder. The Lord Almighty is with us. And the God of Jacob is our fortress. What is a fortress? A fortress is something you get inside of. It's something that separates you from the trouble, the problems, the difficulties. He says, I will be your fortress. I'll be your hiding place. I'll be your safe refuge. Have you ever had somebody threaten somebody you loved and you said these words to them, you'll have to get through me to get to them? Friend, that's what God is saying when he says the God of Jacob is your fortress. He says, I'm putting myself between you and the problem. I'm putting myself between you and the enemy, and they're going to have to go through me to get to you. Friend, he's going to take care of you. I don't know what tomorrow will be, but I know the one who holds tomorrow in his hand. He was with me yesterday. He's with me today. And no matter what Monday morning will be like, he'll still be with me. Be still and know that I'm God. Heavenly Father, I thank you today. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your promises. I thank you that you're a God who is present with me and always in the spot of never leaving me. I thank you that I can count on you. God, I may not like what's presented itself to me. I may not like the reports that I've heard. I may not like the difficulties I'm facing or the valley I'm walking through. But Lord, I believe today that you are with me. I believe today, even though I don't know what tomorrow will bring, I know that you'll take care of me. I know that you'll see me through. I know that you'll never leave me, and I know you will never forsake me. I know you will be faithful. You said I would have tribulations, but I could take heart in the tribulation because you've already overcome all my tribulations, all my trials. You are the overcomer. And since you overcome, I can overcome also. Because my strength is found in you. And Father, I pray today for my brothers and sisters in this room. Many, God, who are walking through places of difficulty. Maybe, Father, they have a great trouble that's surrounded their life. And it's come in like a flood around them. God, I pray you remind them today that you are their refuge. You're the fortress. You're standing between the problem and them. Father, for those who are facing difficulty, and God, frankly, they've just been worried. Worried, it's affecting their sleep. God, it's tearing up their stomach because they're so worried. God, would you remind them that you are a present help? And Father, I pray today for those whose mind just won't seem to shut off of the problem. Father, would you just speak the words over them today? Be still. Be still and remember that I am God. The problems are not in control of your life. But Father, you are in control of my life. For the steps of righteous people are ordered by the Lord. And so, Lord, if the journey of life takes me down a detour, you're on the detour with me. I'm never by myself, but you're always with us. And I believe you're with these people today. And you're with them in their hour, in their season, in their place of difficulty. Father, just remind them today how much you love them and how close you are with them, and that you're going to see them through, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Would you stand with me, please? Here's how I'd like to conclude our time together today. Here's the reality of life. You have either been through some places of difficulty, or you are currently in places of difficulty. Or the reality of this life is there's some places of difficulty down the road ahead of you. I can't stop those things, and God doesn't often stop them. He doesn't stop our problems. He carries us through our problems. And so what I'm trying to say to you is there's not a person in this place that hasn't went through difficulty before. We're all the same place. But today, as you came to this church, if you're finding yourself right in the middle of it, right in the heat of the battle, and you say, I need God's strength today. I need God's help today. I need God's encouragement in my heart today. Friend, here's what I want to do. I want to have the opportunity to pray with you today. I want to have the opportunity for us to come together to see the works of the Lord and remind ourselves of who our God is. And so Paula is going to sing here in just a moment. And as she does, here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to invite you today, if you'd like to have prayer, listen. I know people sometimes say, I'm embarrassed. Friend, don't be embarrassed, because it may be me next week that we're praying for. We're all together in the same thing. And so today, if you'd like for us to pray with you, we'd love to have that opportunity. And so as Paula begins to sing, if you'd like prayer this morning, I'd ask that you would just simply step out from where you're at, make your way to the front so that we can easily get to you. I've got some that are going to come and join me, and we're going to pray with you today. And we're going to believe God for your set of circumstances. As she sings, would you just come today? Come and let us pray with you. I need some prayer warriors to come. We're going to believe together today.
Thank you, God, for this word today. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful, awesome day. God, to be able to be in your presence, to be able to be at church, God, in freedom. Lord, that no one stopped us at the doors, God. We were able to come in and hear your word and sing and rejoice in you. God, I thank you, Lord, that you are our rock and our refuge and an ever-present help in time of need. God, I pray for these people right now. I pray for the congregation, God, Lord, that's here today. God, that you would be with them all week. That, God, no weapon formed against them will prosper in the name of Jesus. And that everything they put their hand to would succeed in the name of Jesus. Because of you, I pray, God, you would keep them strong in prayer and strong in the word and keep their hearts surrendered. God, bless them, God, every area of their life, Lord. We pray all these things, God, in your name. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to encourage you that the altars remain open, and we would love to pray with you. If there's from the smallest to the biggest need, anything you want us to pray with you about, I want to tell you something. I want to encourage you with all my heart. Stay in prayer this week. Stay in the Word this week. Even if you can only just read a few verses here and there, or the whole book or the whole chapter, whatever. Stay in prayer this week. Find time to get alone with God. And stay in the Word. Find somebody and tell them about Jesus. We love you. We're thankful that you're here today. May God bless you, keep you safe all week long. Guide your footsteps all week long. Cling to Him. Stay with Him. Stay away from sin. Cling to the cross. Amen. Hope to see you next week. We love you very much. God bless you.